Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
The road to Roland Garros continues on the red clay in Rome. What a night it was. Welcome to TC Live as we get you caught up on all the biggest news and highlights from this last combined 1,000-level event before the tennis world proceeds to Paris. A lot to discuss. The greatest champ in Italian Open history back for one last dance. See how Rafa Nadal lost his footing and got back up to sidestep his first foe. Plus, Coco Gauff got through her first test in Rome, but here with the top-ranked American is looking to improve before she gets to Roland Garros. And as Novak Djokovic goes for his seventh title in the Eternal City, find out whether he likes the new two-week format at this Masters event. Come on into our studios here in Santa Monica, California. A lot to get to today. Steve Weissman alongside the Hall of Famer Tracy Austin. We got the Hall of Famer Andy Roddick over on the big screen as well. So many big names in action today, but one of the most memorable moments of the day came in the third set between Dan Evans and Fabio Fognini. We got to show it to you because Fognini was up, serving 3-1. It was break point for Dan Evans, and Fognini's shot right here goes out. It was called out by the lines person. You see it right there, but the chair umpire, Mo Leoni, gets out of his chair, comes down, and then calls the ball in. In fact, bumps into Dan Evans, and Evans is like, show me the mark. But he never did. Also said that the lines person called it in, which they didn't, Tracy.
And look at the angle of the shot. You can tell that that's coming from a swing volley from inside the court. And for Mo Leoni to come out of his chair on the opposite side, they rarely overrule a ball there. And also, he should have asked the lines person, did you call that ball in or out? And asked the lines person to show where the mark was. Good thing we have the ATP coming in next year with Hawkeye on play.
Absolutely. Andy, what did you think of this call?
I think it's one of the worst calls I've ever seen. And I'm trying not to say that hyperbolically. Fognini wasn't even offended by it. He wasn't even going to challenge it. You can't overrule the far sideline unless you're positive. And if a ball is out by 3 inches and you get paid to see things, you can't possibly see it out. And then to double down on wrong, to not ask the umpire. So you get it wrong on the call. You get it wrong on the procedural elements, right? You don't ask the umpire. You overrule the far sideline, which is kind of like a soft rule in tennis. And then you kind of get after Dan Evans when he's pointing out your stupidity. Like, I like Mo Leoni as a human.
Yes.
This was horrible. And he does have the reputation for inserting himself into matches. We remember him at the Open a couple of years ago getting down and giving Nick Kyrgios a pep talk in the middle of a match. And I'm going, if I'm playing against Nick Kyrgios now, I'm going, what the hell are you doing? Like, let him default. I want to win this match. You're taking my lunch money if he turns this around. So just bad all around. Dan Evans, like, he was mad. I can only imagine what would happen if a player bumps an umpire.
Right. That's such a good point. I love, by the way, Tracy and Andy getting so fired up about this. That's why we had to show it at the top of the show. Evans did break in that game, but Fognini did win the match in the end. He will play Taylor Fritz tomorrow. Let's get to some more highlights on this day. We start with the 10-time champ, Rafa Nadal. He achieved La Decima in Rome 3 years ago against Novak Djokovic. The fourth time Nadal defeated Djokovic in the final here. Rafa said after achieving 10 in Roland Garros, 10 in Monte Carlo, 10 in Barcelona, I really wanted this one. So Rafa going for his 70th win in Rome, taking on Zizou Bergs, Andy. The qualifier was not intimidated against the legend.
Yeah, he wasn't intimidated. And this is that was gross, Steve. That was pretty athletic, wasn't it? But Nadal was up 3-1 in the first set and then was just leaving the ball short, right? The wheels weren't working the way he wanted to, but Rafa being Rafa started bullying that backhand side. started finding his pacing, where Bergs had to choose whether to cover a forehand or hedge to the backhand. And then Rafa started bleeding him in the second set a little bit, getting the angle on that inside in forehand. And you know what time it is. Let's get up for the 10-time champ. This was bananas. Imagine falling, getting up, being in perfect stride, and then actually playing a good point. I don't think people understand how athletic this was and how dumb I would look had I fallen. I would have rolled six times and just stayed there. But Rafa is just being Rafa. Look at where he's having to cover. And then you have to guess, right? And you know what time it is. It's lawnmower time, Steve. You know I love the lawnmower from Rafa Nadal. Not his best match, but really stuck it out. Kept giving away leads. Gave away a 3-1 lead in the first set. Gave away a 3-1 lead in the third set. But Rafa being Rafa is going to stick this out. Save a couple of break points here. And then he gets it going. He says, get up. I've won it 10 times. What the hell? We're already here. We might as well try to make it 11. Right, Tracy?
Absolutely.
But then just finding the distance and making Bergs cover that back inside. May have gotten a bounce there, but says, you know what? I've done this before. I know what to do.
Saved all five break points in the final two sets. Picks up his 410th win at the Masters 1000 level. That's more than anyone in history. He gets Hubie Hurkacz next. Take a look at this. Favorite stops on tour. That is the 70 win club now for Nadal, joining his total in Monte Carlo, the Australian Open, and Roland Garros. Let's hear from Rafa and then Bergs with Prakash.
Today was not a good match for me. I mean, I didn't play the way that I really think I can play and I need to play. But I was able to find a way to win, and that gave me the chance to play in today's game.
As I said earlier to my friends, it's definitely living the dream.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's living in a highlight reel. Obviously, already I'm very grateful to have this tennis life. You know, you see Rafa Nadal always on TV when you're young. You call yourself mini Rafa Nadal. You're wearing the same clothes. So I don't have to tell you how special this moment is to play him at this stage.
Really encourage you to watch that full interview with Zizou and Prakash on our social media. Very thoughtful young player. But let's talk about Rafa Nadal. He said he didn't play good tennis, but was able to find a way. What was your biggest takeaway for him?
Well, as he said, he didn't play as well as he has been practicing. But the biggest takeaway is that he won in the big moments. And that's what champions do. And that's so important because just like getting the groove on your forehand, you get the groove mentally. You saw in that one game when he was serving at 3-2, but went immediately down love 40. And you're thinking, okay, what's going to happen here? He locks in. He pulls back just 10%, knowing that he's Rafa Nadal. And the guy on the other side of the court is still going to be feeling a lot of pressure that he's playing his idol. And so Rafa comes back and wins that game 4-2 and then was able to eventually serve it out. But I think that those mental reps were so important for Rafa to not feel completely comfortable, but he's progressing. He's getting better with each match that he plays.
Yeah, my take on it was, I don't know that default Rafa, where I mean, even if I hit the ball short, I can run, right? And I can make you have to hit 2, 3, 4, 5 winners in a point. I don't know that that is readily available at this point. Time is undefeated. He's given it a hell of a run. But I think Rafa is going to have to be more aggressive from the baseline than he's ever had to be on clay before. I was watching highlights from Rome, the Coria final in 05, and I was stunned at how fast he was. It's almost like I'd forgotten about it. It was insane. So I think that default setting of coming out, working your way into a match like he tried to do in the first set, was leaving the ball a little short, and Bergs was able to push him towards the corners maybe a little easier than was possible with Rafa before on a clay court. So I just think he's going to have to up his aggressive mindset, maybe 10-20%, and maybe start swinging out a little bit sooner than he's accustomed to in these clay matches.
Roddick doing the deep dive research on Rafa here. Love to hear that, Andy. And we will look forward to that match against Hubie Hurkacz. Let's talk about Hubie's fellow Polish superstar, the top seed on the women's side. That is Iga Świątek, coming off her first title in Madrid, going for number 3 in Rome. Tracy facing American Bernarda Pera.
Yeah, Iga has talked about managing this tough schedule now with the longer tournaments in Rome and Madrid. And she did this nicely today. Pera is actually a pretty tough customer on the clay. She tried to loop it up to bother Iga. No problem. Iga finding the sidelines. consistently, and we see that Iga's backhand down the line. That is probably the most improved shot in the last year, year and a half. She finds the winners nicely when she needs to on that side. But the key with Iga is on clay. She can be offensive, defensive, moves just about better than anybody on this surface, hugs the baseline, so is able to find those angles. Para, she tried to mix it up, but Swiatek, as she does, smothered the ball, smothered Para, and just able to find all the answers.
What do you know? Iga on clay, another bagel. A seventh straight win, tour leading 31st this season, improves to 15-2 in Rome. Naomi Osaka continuing her comeback, facing 19th seed Marta Kostyuk, Tracy. Osaka came in 0-for-8 against top 20 players on clay.
Yeah, this was really an important statement match, I think, for Naomi Osaka. In Madrid, she lost to Samsonova in 3 sets. She said, I went to Mallorca. I really did a great training block there. I watched some matches of Rafa and Alcaraz to see maybe I need to change the way I played on clay. And she said, you know what? Ostapenko won on clay. I can play my game. And she really did. She served extremely well. This is where the rain delay came. She went to her notebook. We saw that the other day. We tried to cheat and see what she had written. We couldn't see it. But once she came back from the clay, from the rain delay, it was all Osaka. And Kostyuk, we know how well she's played this year, and particularly in Stuttgart getting to the finals. She had a few more mistakes than possibly the norm, but I think it really has to do so much with the way that Osaka was serving and the way that she was just hitting the ball to the corners, driving the ball with confidence. Enough shape on the ball for control. Lovely match for her.
19 winners to just 12 unforced errors. First top 20 win on clay since she's still a baby giraffe. Learning yes. her steps on this surface, but she's doing pretty well, growing up quickly. 2016 Rome runner-up Madison Keys, Andy, had to deal with Mother Nature and Camila Osorio.
Yeah, and getting used to the conditions in Rome, right? A lot deader. The ball doesn't fly as much. She made a great run in Madrid, beating Jabeur in golf along the way. But from that middle of the court, she knows what to do with that forehand. That same forehand got away from her a little bit in the second set here. Cruises in the first set. In the second set, Osorio able to kind of grind back, and you don't see Maddie miss these forehands very often. You can see she's not real happy about it, and misses another one here, down set point, so kind of has to regroup in the middle of the court. That is normally cash in the bank for Maddie Keys, but when you've played a lot of matches, you just get right back to business. You see just overpowering, taking the swing, big swings to the big parts of the court. I know our guy Paul Anacone is loving that. Gets through, survive, advance, get used to the conditions for the next one.
Yeah, she told Prakash she was thinking about that Taylor Fritz six love jinx after the first set, but able to move on. How about Coco Gauff? Has won 29 of her last 31 matches against players outside the top 30, facing Magdalena Freck, Tracy, who's 0-12 against the top 10.
Yeah, we feel like Coco is going to get through this match, but how well does she get through this match? Things we look for, the forehand. That was really good today, driving through the contact point. And then the other one is the serve for Coco Gauff. She's been averaging about 9 double faults in her clay court matches this year. She got 9 today, so she wants to cut that out. That's really where she needs to clean it up. And she said that going into the French, she feels like she wants to serve better. She's working on her technique with Brad, just a little bit on the serve. So you might expect it to be a little rough around the edges. But overall, I think this was a really positive match for Coco. Straight sets, pretty straightforward.
She's not like us. Also said after the match, Team Kendrick, much like Naomi Osaka, 28 winners, did have 9 double faults, something that she is working on. But you can win in straight sets and do that. Progress for Coco Gauff. When we come back, we'll give you an update on when we will see world number 5, American Jesse Pegula, back on court. And with so many spectacular shots on display today, who will get the ultimate hot shot? Here's a hint. It happened on Match Point. Find out later on TC Live.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Tracy, Eddie, Steve back with you on TC Live. Our coverage on T2 from Rome begins 5 a.m. Eastern, and these matches begin at 8 a.m. Eastern with Leif Shiras and Jan-Michael Gamble. We've got Sophia Kennan taking on Ange Burr. Kennan, big lead in the head-to-head. We'll break it down later in the show. Plus, Grigor Dimitrov and Yoshi Nishioka. More highlights from today. American Marcos Giron, Andy, hoping to improve to 3-0 against Emil Roussevori. But this, their first match on clay.
Yeah, changes it a bit, and Roussevori was able to get out to a hot start here, Steve. Giron likes to run, but Roussevori really tricky with those kind of mid-court balls, hitting the little chipper Magoo, and then coming in and sticking the volley. But Giron is a fighter. He is going to make you earn everything. And Ruzibor did not earn it with that four. And that was Flag City. Not a good looking ball there. And then Jerome with this big serve out wide. Not something that he is known for, but sneaky, effective serve. And then, listen, you know Jerome's not going to get tired. He's got those quadzillas down there moving around the court. You see him moving, taking a shot. And he says, "I'm sorry, bro. Like, I'm really not. I'm not sorry. I'm so happy that happened, but I will I will feign regret anyways for the highlight." And then he says, hey, look at me. I got ahead.
The original quad father snapping a four-match slide picks up his first win since Houston. Got a Chipper Magoo in there, a little Flag City. Fellow UCLA Bruin, NCAA champ Mackie McDonald back on court for the first time since Australia. Andy taking on Aslan Karatsev. Good start for the American here.
That's right. He says, "You have calves. I have calves. We all have the glorious calves, Steve." But McDonald wins the first set. And Karatsev, that's the ball that you're not expecting from him. And then this one, inside in. That is where he makes his living, is taking that forehand from that side and hitting it flat inside in. Tough to defend when he's hitting it well. It's a high-risk shot. But that's the one. That's the one that he knows he has all the time. And if he's hitting that one down the line from the deuce side, then we got some problems, Steve. And this might be the shot of the year to finish a match. You know I like a relevant hot shot up the line for the win. That is disgustingly awesome. Even after that, Mackie goes, "Hey, bro, that was pretty cool."
Andy, didn't he slow down for that one? I think he could have actually hit a forehand. He slowed down so he could hit the tweener. Unbelievable.
Whatever he did, it was right.
Unbelievable.
How about American Sloane Stephens? 9-2 record on clay this season, taking on Yulia Putintseva. Tracy, but Putsi been equally efficient on the dirt.
This was going to be an interesting match because they've both been playing so well. Putintseva gets the break there. Both have so much variety, but Putintseva drop shot after drop shot, bringing Sloane Stephens forward where she was uncomfortable today. Putintseva doing a terrific job with so much variety, using all parts of the court, using the chips, using the topspin to loop it out of Sloane's strike zone. Got to the quarterfinals in Madrid, quarterfinals actually in Miami. So Putintseva has a lot of match wins recently, playing with confidence, gets the break again there, just break after break. And actually Putintseva did a great job of saving her own break points, 3 out of 4. And a really tidy match here for Putintseva against Sloane Stephens, who loves the dirt.
Yeah, Putintseva 6-1 on clay this season, gets the challenge of Iga Świątek in the third round. Emma Navarro making her Rome debut as the 21st seed, Tracy, facing Paula Badosa. This was a good one.
It was. Emma Navarro, I call her the winning machine in 2024, even the last 12 months. She gets that first set 6-1 so easily, and Badosa, a few many mistakes, and she looked a little frustrated. But what changed in the second set? The forehand of Badosa started finding its mark. And we know that's one of her big assets, along with the serve. A clean ace to get that second set. And then in the third set, Badosa even looked more impressive. Looked like the Paula Badosa that got to as high as number 2 in the world. We know that Badosa in the far court loves to play on clay, but Navarro does too. So this was quite an interesting matchup so early in the tournament. Badosa trying to get her ranking back up. This actually would be her biggest win of the year.
Yeah,
she's
certainly
fighting that back injury.
And backs it up after that win over Mira Andreeva as well. Comeback over an in-form Emma Navarro. Good stuff for Paula Badosa. No public relationship anymore, Andy. And now a new lease on life and on the court.
Yeah, I'd rather talk about health and form, right? It was this tournament a year ago. Where she found out she had a fracture in her spine, which is no small injury. There's no way to get away from that as a tennis player. It's great to see her healthy again. It's great to see the decision-making intact. I mean, I don't know that Vegas would have had her getting through Andreeva and Navarro first two rounds. Very competent clay court players. These are two really, really, really good wins for Badosa back-to-back. Hopefully, this is the turn we've been looking for.
Absolutely, Andy. And, you know, it's been hard to watch Paula come back and then kind of have that slide again because of the back. And then she comes back again, and it's been up and down. That's so frustrating as an athlete, so frustrating as a player. So hopefully this will be her springboard, and it makes sense on clay. She's so good on the surface. So I think this is the kind of confidence that she really needs to give her that boost.
Next match, most important. She told Prakash after her first win, she said, I need to be able to get through three matches in a row.
Physically.
Haven't been able to do that all year. So we'll see if she can do that. If so, Paula Badosa, somebody to look out for on the road to Roland Garros. Tough day, though, for Americans, Andy, in Rome. Look at all these L's.
Not the ones. This is not what we wanted to see. Sarah Rani toughing out. She's never easy, especially in an Italian crowd. Queen Wen, we'll see that highlight a little bit later, but she looked great. JJ Wolf going down, needs to start winning some matches, and Nakashima the same. So not the time of year for the Americans, but hey, we're trying, Steve. We're trying.
That's all you can do. Try harder, I guess. Still to come, he is the top seed and number one player in the world, but Novak Djokovic still in search of his first title this year. Andy and Tracy tell you if he will find it in Rome. Austin Roddick Weissman back on TC Live. There are some immortal athletes in the Eternal City, and the fans know they are in the presence of everlasting greatness. Look at how they surround six-time champ Novak Djokovic. Looks like he's in the Pope-mobile here. Djokovic has won two of the last four titles and arrives as the top seed and world number one. Incredible scenes there. Take a look at what Novak Djokovic has been able to do here in Rome, six-time champ, 12 finals and 17 appearances, 67 wins overall. That is just three shy of Rafa Nadal, also the oldest ever champ a couple years ago. Let's hear from Djokovic before he goes for his seventh title.
Hopefully here in Rome I can play better than I did in Monte Carlo. And, you know, that's the wish, obviously. It's always to go far. But let's see. You know, it's a different concept now. You know, it's the first time that Rome and Madrid are almost 2 weeks events, like Indian Wells, Miami. So, you know, it gives you, I guess, more time to recover between matches if you keep going in the tournament, which I think is useful for me.
Two-week draw. Good thing for Novak Djokovic, as you say. Take a look at his draw, starting out against Corentin Moutet. But it's not about the draw for me, Andy. It's about Novak Djokovic. He is the world number one. What are your expectations for him?
Yeah, this is a good starting draw. What you don't want when you haven't played is someone who's just going to come and not give you any rhythm, right? Like a Karatsev, who's just going to kind of hit the ball flat to the corners. He's going to get into some rallies with Moutet. He's going to get into some rallies with Tabilo also. Also, what needs to be said, after looking at that resume, six-time winner in Rome, he's won multiple Roland Garros titles. Why don't we talk about him as one of the best clay court players ever? Like, we're dumb for not doing that. Like, we don't know about his fitness. We haven't seen him on the court since Monte Carlo. Assuming it's as good as it's always been, you know, he's got to be near the top of the favorites list for sure.
He is one of the greatest clay court players of all time. By the way, Roger Federer, one of the greatest clay court players of all time. The reason we don't say it is because we've got that guy, Rafa Nadal.
That other guy.
Who's got like 10 here, 11 there, 12 there, 14 there. Tracy, semifinals, Monte Carlo. This is only the fourth event of the season for Novak Djokovic, but says he is peaking for Roland Garros. That is his goal, that and the Olympics.
Yeah, and I think because he's 36, he really is trying to stay fresh for the biggest events, the majors and the Olympics, which, by the way, he hasn't won. And so, and Novak touched upon it. These tournaments are now 2 weeks, and they're playing a lot of tournaments, a lot of matches. It's a lot of time. And now we got Alcaraz out. We got Sinner out. And then Novak comes in. He's had a two-week training block. He's been here 4 or 5 days, practiced sets with some of the other guys. He's got a new coach, Ninad Zimonjic, new fitness trainer, he said, who he's worked with before. So I actually think he's really in a good place. The guy doesn't lack for experience. So, yes, he's only played but four events, including the United Cup. But this is a guy that can ramp it up quickly. And I do think that the draw is important, as Andy said. That's a draw that's workable, that you win and you keep having that day off for practice and you keep working your way through a tournament. That's so important for even Novak, who hasn't played a lot, but he can work his way through.
All right. Looking forward to seeing him start off against Corentin Moutet. Let's see what's trending inside the social net. Steve Tignor writing a great piece on tennis.com about the Rafa Nadal Novak Djokovic rivalry, specifically in Rome. They have played a men's record 59 times against each other, but 9 times in Rome beginning in 2007. Some incredible matches, Andy.
Yeah, and listen, we didn't know that Federer had a weakness until someone like Rafa came along. We didn't know that Rafa's forehand cross court could be tamed until Novak Djokovic comes along and can hit backhands up the line from above his head. Like, I love how these greats of all time have pushed each other. I had a front row seat that I didn't always enjoy, but as a spectator, I love to see it. Often forgotten that they've played more than the Roger Rafa rivalry, the Novak Roger rivalry. Listen, they don't play for small titles, these two.
I'm just happy that they're both in the same tournament. It's been a while. Yep. I think it's the Australian Open 2023. We know Rafa, it's his last Rome. He's told us that. Not at the tip top, but we are curious to see where he is. And actually, we're curious to see where Novak is because he's played so little. So the dynamic and how wide open Rome is, and even Roland Garros moving forward because those other guys are injured. It'll be interesting.
Yeah, they've brought the best out of each other. In fact, one of these two has won 16 of the last 19 Italian Opens. That's incredible, incredible stuff. Jessie Pegula's clay court season could be in doubt. This, according to her, says, I actually feel really good, but have to work back into training at a snail's pace. Last played at the BJK Cup in April and says she injured herself before Madrid, Tracy.
Yeah, and I haven't heard what the injury is, but Jessica Pegula, of all people, has been one that has just been such a workhorse. She plays all the time, plays doubles included. So few top players play doubles, and oftentimes at the majors, she'll even play mixed doubles. We saw her not play in the Middle East because of a neck injury. So we know that she has a new coach in Mark Knowles, and Jessie will come back when she is good and ready, and I can't wait for it because I love to watch her compete.
Yeah, it's actually a rib injury. I was texting with Jessie a couple of weeks ago. Listen, if we're being very honest about this, Jessie Pegula's upside on clay is less than it is on every other surface. If you are trying to get healthy, get fit, Jessie Pegula's game is fantastic for grass. We forget that she was up 4-1 and third against Vondrozova. Mm. So if you have any scare for an injury and you know that your upside is more significant at Wimbledon than maybe any other major, I think this is right. Let's get healthy. Let's attack the rest of the season. It's been a rough start to the year through no fault of her own. Just unfortunate. That's the way it goes sometimes. But I like Jessie Pegula on grass, and I hope she's healthy for it.
All right, so a rib injury for Jessie Pegula, and that's a great point. Made third round of Roland Garros last year, but quarterfinals at Wimbledon with a great chance to make the Final Four. Here's our schedule on Friday. Live tennis begins on Tennis Channel and T2, 5 a.m. Eastern. The night session starting at 1 p.m. Eastern. And, of course, the three of us back on TC Live at 5 Eastern. Encore coverage from Rome all night long. We will break down some of those matchups when the show rolls on. Welcome back. Roland Garros is almost here. Tennis Channel, Tennis Channel Plus, and T2 will once again bring you extensive daily live coverage from Paris. Don't miss any of the Grand Slam excitement on the Terre Battue beginning Sunday, May 26th at 5 a.m. Eastern. And don't forget, our special Roland Garros TC Live pregame show from Paris is on Saturday, May 25th, 11 a.m. Eastern, again at 8 p.m. Eastern, with Martina Navratilova, Prakash Amitraj, John Wertheim, and myself. It'll get you ready for the year's second major. Time now for our hot shot of the day, Andy, and we go back to what you called the point of the year, potentially.
I'm so happy this is the choice, because otherwise we would have done our last show together, Steve. This is fantastic.
No, don't say it ain't so.
Matt's point line just freezes Mackie at the net. I could watch that over and over. Even Mackie does. Look at, he's smiling. No one smiles when they lose 6-4 in the third. He's even smiling. He gets it.
A tweener winner on match point. I mean, the significance. And to come up with that shot. Yeah. That's best of the best number one. I don't know what's going to beat that right now. But that's why they play the games. We got a big-time lineup for you on this Friday. Novak Djokovic in action. Aryna Sabalenka Danielle Collins playing Anna Blinkova, Taylor Fritz, Elena Rybakina. By the way, she's your returning champ in Rome on the women's side. Nobody's talking about her. Ben Shelton as well. Let's head back to our desk in Rome for a preview with Danny and Prakash.
Back here at our FanDuel desk. Prakash, Danielle Collins was your dark horse to make a deep run in this tournament. Why do you think she's going to do well against Anna Blinkova?
Well, very simply, just the form that she's been in. I think she has a shot to do really well here, but let's take it one match at a time. She's been playing great after Miami, continued in Charleston, of course, and then continued in Madrid. Blinkova has been really struggling. She lost 5 matches in a row coming into this event. Managed to get a good win over Diane Perry, but I think just 2 ends of the spectrum on form, and I think the American is going to get off to a great start.
Looking forward to seeing the American in action. In fact, looking forward to see all the action here in Rome on Friday. It's going to be fun.
All right, thanks so much. Can't bet against the Danimal. Speaking of Americans in action, we've got Sonia Kenin taking the court, and she is playing Ons Jabeur. Kenin was feisty, Tracy, in her first round win against Bronzetti. She was going at the crowd. I'd love to see that. Actually, leads Jabeur 4-1 head-to-head, so who do you give the edge to tomorrow?
That is so interesting because they haven't played since 2021, so that's kind of like another time zone for both of them. Both of them have been struggling the last 6 months to a year for Kenin. For Jabeur, certainly this year, and they're trying to get back on track. Jabeur looked much better in Madrid and getting to the quarterfinals. She was just all out of sorts with injuries, couldn't find the range. Sonia Kenin, just 3 match wins. Who do I pick? Tough one. She looked great, but I'm going to go with Jabeur.
Going with Jabeur here. Andy, what do you think?
Yeah, I actually think this is kind of a pick-em match, but I think Jabeur, to Tracy's point, looked much better in Madrid. Her shot tolerance was better. She was getting out of the corners a little bit better. When she can firm up her rally ball, that opens up all the creativity, right? You have to stick someone to where they, you know, a foot or two behind the baseline and not in order for those drop shots to work, in order to bring out the flair of Jabeur. This is an interesting matchup, though. It's going to be a lot of breaks in this one. Neither one serves the other off the court, but I think I like Jabeur.
All right. Should be a good test for both of these players on the way to Paris. Kenin has made a final at Roland Garros before. On the
men's side, a lot of drop shots.
A lot of feel in that matchup. Ben Shelton got a win in dubs today.
Yeah.
He's playing with Alexander Bublik. Took out Francis Tiafoe, Felix Auger-Aliassime. So getting a little feel, Andy, for the courts there in Rome. Tomorrow, taking on Pavel Kotov in singles. What makes this a successful singles event if you're Ben Shelton?
Winning matches, right? On a surface that maybe you're not fluent in yet. We forget that the guy was in school until 18 months ago. So hasn't gotten a lot. Only had a passport, I think, 18 months ago. So, listen, still finding his pacing. Obviously played well in Houston. Won a match in Madrid. Needs to get through matches against players ranked lower than him. Kotov probably a little bit more comfortable on the clay. But Ben has some significant upside. He can get the ball to jump up and away here. The serve shouldn't be thwarted too much because he has so much variety and so much kick in it. I like Ben in this one, but I've been impressed with Kotov the last couple weeks.
Yeah, I love Ben on clay eventually, and I do now, but I think he's only going to get better the way that he can use the kick on that second serve, loop that forehand out of everybody's strike zone. He can come to the net. He can use the slice. I actually love that he's playing doubles. You know, a lot of young players don't play doubles, but he's so fit. He's getting those secondary shots, the nuanced shots, and I think that's eventually going to help his career become a more complete player.
All right, looking forward to that matchup. Sean Holt graduating tomorrow, so Tracy's going to go to the graduation.
Yay!
Congratulations, Shawnee. And that means Jim Courier going to be with us on TC Live tomorrow. But big day for the last of your 3 boys.
That's right. No more tuitions. I get a raise. Thank you very much.
We leave you with this, Andy. Once again, Moleani.
Oh.
Boxing out Dan Evans.
I mean, what is he like? Is this like Jokic and like Embiid in the paint? Like, what's going on? And then he comes up here. Bognini's smiling because he knows he got away with something. Leoni's smiling because he knows his mistake's not going to cost him money. Dan Evans is pissed.